Welcome to Money Grows on Trees.
Money does grow on trees.
A podcast full of practical, real-life money lessons that you wish you learned in school. Lloyd is a former lawyer turned lifestyle entrepreneur. In each episode, he'll be answering the tough questions around money, investing, and entrepreneurship to help you transform your money mindset and move you closer to achieving your financial goals. Now, let the class begin. Here's your host, Lloyd Ross.
All right, welcome back to the show. Money Grows on Trees podcast. My name is Lloyd Ross. This episode is titled Ask a Millionaire. That's the title of it, Ask a Millionaire. And I'll tell you where it's coming from. If you go to my Instagram, there is a post I did the other day that says, and I quote, "If you are a legit millionaire, leave some advice. If you are still working to become one, ask a question." So what I thought I'd do for this episode, there's some really cool advice comments there from legitimate millionaires on my page. Some of my friends who have jumped in and given some advice, which is cool. I'm going to read that out as we go, but also some really important questions that others left that I've been able to answer. So I wanted to come into an episode on this just to elaborate on some of these answers and just give you the Q&A with it, because I think it's super valuable. And it all came about because I actually had someone reach out to me on Messenger, Facebook Messenger. I'm not sure how it happened, but I think this particular person was grabbed my book and they were just trying to get into the Facebook group, which is all good. And they said, "Lloyd, hope you're doing well. May I ask you a question? If you had to start over, how would your financial journey start? So I imagine that means how would your financial journey start? And it's a great question, right? So she goes on to say, and it comes from Deb. So kudos, Deb, for asking this question. I did tell you I'd do this episode for you. So here we go. I'm going to do this question for Deb to kick things off. And then I'm going to go through that post on Instagram and just elaborate on some of those questions that I answered there to give you the value in this episode, Ask a Millionaire. Okay, so Deb says, "My son has just started working full time, is asking me what he should do with his money. Doesn't want to spend it and waste it." That's good. What an intelligent son. "He pays rent and pays for food, etc." That's amazing that he pays for rent and food. Awesome. "But no other major expenses. He has no goals yet, but isn't sure where to begin. What advice would you give someone starting out?" Thanks in advance, Deb. Thanks for your question, Deb. So that's great that he's already got that mindset that he's already paying for things. And so everybody knows that the compound effect is more powerful the longer that you can invest for, okay? Which is why Warren Buffett says, if you want to be rich, find a little bit of wet snow, which is a little bit of money, invest it, and find a really long hill, meaning live a long time, okay? So obviously for Deb's son, he's very young, and so he has this massively long hill he can roll his snowball down. So this is the suggestion I would make. At that age, the sooner you start investing, the better. And you can do it on such simple micro investing apps like Raise, and you can do it on, broker platforms. It's just so easy now to invest compared to when I first started many years ago. So what I would suggest is to think about what Charlie Munger says. He says, you know, the first $100,000 is a bitch. That's actually his words. He says, the first $100,000 is a bitch. I mean, it's hard work to get to your first $100,000. Whether you're saving it or investing it, hopefully investing it, but to get that balance, that portfolio of $100,000 of an asset of some type, hopefully it's in shares, but it could be in property, but primarily it's probably going to be in a share portfolio of some sort. That's the hardest because you have no help from the compound effect. You have no help from the money growing over time. So what I would suggest he does is begin small. So just start with a little bit of tiny money, invest it, and just build it up over time in some sort of index fund and get to that first 100,000. So if he's looking for a goal, that would be a goal. Here's why. Once you get to 100,000, the compound effect starts to kick in, meaning it's at a balance that's appropriate enough. So when the portfolio grows by perhaps 10% in a year, that's $10,000. That's a material impact. That's a real genuine number that will help him. And so getting and scrapping your way to the first 100K is critical. But also your whole life changes when you've got 100,000 in backup. Like you approach things differently. You have different confidence. You have opportunities. You can say yes to things. You're not scrapping around trying to just factor in rent, you know, like you're not in financial crisis. You're at a level of financial peace. So that's the goal I would attack if I were him. Keep your costs low and your investment income or your investment contributions high, and get as much in there as possible while you're young. It just makes such a massive difference. You know, there's so many studies out there where a 20-year-old will begin investing versus a 30-year-old, and that difference in 10 years is literally worth millions of dollars, literally millions of dollars. So the earlier he begins, the better. So he can go through this whole podcast and he can get educated if he's old enough to get some of these episodes, into his mind and start understanding some things, then you can help him, right? To just take that first step. Okay. So that's all he has to do. Keep it simple. Simple scales, complex fails. That's what I would suggest he does. Okay. Awesome. And not get into a mortgage too quickly and too early as a kid. I think it's just, it can bury you. It can put a ball and chain on you, right? So moving over to Instagram, these questions that people ask, like, so I'll do the advice as I roll down it. Okay. So I'll do it all together. So I'll start from the very top. My buddy Nick Shaw goes, hey, he's a millionaire. Keep a long-term horizon, right? Keep a long-term time horizon, meaning long-term approach. Like it takes 10 years to be an overnight success. So you don't want to have a microwave success mentality. You want to have a crock pot mentality. So when you cook food, you can instantly cook it through the microwave, or you can put it in a crock pot and boil it and cook it slowly over time. You know which one tastes better, right? The one that's not microwaved. Everyone's looking for microwave success. Like, I want instantly. So Nick says, you know, keep a long-term time horizon. Going on, Rachel asks, future millionaire here, how do I figure out which path is the right one for me? So I want to say, typically you'll want to model someone else who's already done it, right? So the critical part is finding someone else who's already trodden the path, someone who's already had success in a specific area. You want to be in business, investing, read their biographies, and really just kind of model what they've done. That's all I've done, right? I've found out and I've read biographies of those who've been successful, and I've really modeled their behavior. And I've modeled the types of careers and things they've done. So I've gotten good at marketing. I've gotten good at sales. I've gotten good at leadership and investing, you know? So I think that's what I would do. So you don't need to pioneer it, meaning you don't need to invent the wheel. It's already been done, right? So find someone who's done it and just model what they've done. You know, I've taught a lot of people to model what I've done, and it's working for them. There are multiple ways to skin a cat when it comes to building wealth. So find someone you look up to, someone you can model, and then model them, you know, follow them. And I go on to say, pioneers have arrows in their back, whereas settlers have money in their pockets. So you don't need to be a pioneer and create a company out of it. You don't have to do that. You can follow some simple principles and create wealth part-time, right? So there you go. All right, awesome. For better or worth, he's a multi-million, I think he's almost got a multi-million dollar net worth. He says, start and never stop investing. Big on index funds. I agree with that. Liz Walker comes in, share your wealth, love your clients, honor your team, be there to love them when your enemies realize you're right. So there you go. Awesome. If your company is halfway there, so this is a question from Jordan. If your company is halfway there, what should we be doing with the money generated? It's a good question, right? So basically it's like I've said, take 10% out. So take 10% of your profits out of the business and buy other assets, like hopefully a share portfolio or build assets outside the business. Just 10%. Just pay yourself 10% and diversify. Then spend the rest on lead generation and sales, including, you know, developing your sales system, okay, to scale faster. That's what you want to focus on. If you're wanting to know how to grow a business, you've really got to focus on lead generation and how you're converting the leads. That's where all of your money should be, into marketing and then in the sales and then on the delivery, okay? I know that Alex Hormozi talks about developing your product really well, so you don't need to depend on that stuff, but it takes such a long time to develop and redevelop product that while you're doing that, you can still have a business and you can refine your product later, okay? Here's some advice, okay, from Tina. Best advice I can give is to start investing early. Start where you are, yes, and don't be afraid to be aggressive. Yeah, play the long game, right? Start where you are, get after it early, play the long game, be patient. That's wonderful advice, okay? Ruby says, time is money. When you buy something, you're spending time. Yep, agree. Actually, I think time is more valuable than money, right? I talk about this in my new book, Time Rich, that's not out yet. It's going to be, I'm just about to finish it tomorrow. It'll be complete. The final reviews, everyone's had it. And when that comes out, it's all about time, which I think is the critical element of what people mismanage to create wealth. All right, here we go. This one comes in from Chris. Where is the best place to start to get on the road to become a millionaire? I bet everyone wants to know, like, what's the starting step, right? So basically, it's reading books, right? On how other millionaires did it. If you want the very first step, reading books, critical, right? And then, you know, use the lessons from the books to then implement them to then create the type of, the type of investments and the assets that they've created and all the businesses, you know? So you start with a job, at least start investing. Then look to amplify your income, which means typically you want to start a business. And of course, you still start with books there too, right? So some of the best investing books out there are like The Intelligent Investor. I'm reading Warren Buffett's Snowball again for the fourth time. I love that book. That's the first one I ever started with. So many great lessons in there. So it's The Snowball. The Intelligent Investor is good. One Up on Wall Street is good. The Psychology of Money is good. you know, the Barefoot Investor. There's some wonderful books out there, right? You can read my book if you like to. It's in the show notes. But then on business, yes, so many great business books. The E-Myth is one of the best out there. Built to Sell, The 4-Hour Workweek. I mean, these are some wonderful first steps to take when it comes to modeling millionaires or taking the first step to what they did, right? Okay, this one comes from _crypto_n_. How can I become a millionaire other than winning the lottery? Yep, I think that's a wonderful question. And I've gone on to say, build a small business and invest some of the profits and buying assets like real estate and stocks. Okay, so amplify your income by having some sort of side hustle or side business, ability to make money on the weekends and evenings, plus your job, save some of the money and start investing it today. That's how you do it, right? You don't have to rely on lottery then. I think maybe in my life, I've bought a lottery ticket for dad, you know, at some point, but I don't buy lottery tickets. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't gamble. I want to forge my own luck. Okay. And I don't even know if I'd be happy if I won the lottery, because there's an element of when you make money that gives you such a great sense of fulfillment that, you know, it's, you get fulfilled when you work hard, to create things. Yeah. So there you go. All right. This is an advice piece from Sarah. When that pesky thought of giving up pops into your head, but you carry on, regardless, it's hard. That's when you learn the most. So that's the advice, right? So yeah, I mean, we all have wall kicking moments in life, not let alone in business and in wealth creation. But when you have those moments, like at the moment we're acquiring a business, and I got to tell you, I can't believe how ineffective our banks are here with business financing. They're just so poor at it, like compared to the United States. They're dreadful at it. Most banking lenders don't even understand shares. Like, they have no, it's just wild that they don't understand certain things in finance, but they're in banking. So I've had huge wall kicking moments where I'm like, how can people be this dumb at that level? But there are, right? They're just like so ignorant with certain stuff. And so of course, when you engage in competence or ignorance or things don't go the way you plan them, you have these wall kicking moments, but you don't spit the dummy and quit. You write the email, the scathing email, then you just delete it. and then you go back to, you know, moving forward. All right. That's what Abraham Lincoln used to do, by the way. If you get very frustrated, he used to write a letter and then he used to never send the letter. You know, I've done that so many times too, because you have these really irritating moments when you're trying to build wealth and, you know, build your life and succeed and win, right? Because there's so many obstacles in the way of that, which is what makes it fun, right? That's the game. All right, here we go. This is a question, future millionaire. This is from _Mun. What is the single most important soft skill to craft for success? My opinion is grit, but keen to hear others. So I've just put here, really, it's one word, and that's influence. Okay, that's the soft skill. And she asked me to elaborate. So going into elaborate is like, you know, like influencing clients to buy from you. So being good at sales and persuasion, influencing others to help you win. So bringing people onto your team, obviously influencing negotiations in your favor. Like I'm trying to, like right now, as I mentioned earlier, I'm trying to influence the bank to borrow money to acquire a business, right? Fully financed, no money down. And so it's like, I'm influencing. And if I get out my way, that's a wonderful win in the wealth creation world, right? And if I don't, well, there's some lessons to learn. So influencing people to follow you. Okay. So like even this, like I'm influencing you now, I hope, to follow the podcast and share this with a friend. And if you're loving this episode and you're finding value in it, please share it to your stories, leave us a 5-star review, or share it with a friend. I want them to listen to this podcast. So hopefully I'm influencing you to go back and listen to all the episodes and share this with a friend and continue to plug into this and influence how you approach money so you can win at life. That's what I want from you. So I'm hopefully influencing that. So influencing people to follow you and listen to you, influencing your kids to take a successful path, right? So again, this is just me summarizing that I feel influence for all these reasons is the one thing to get great at. Now, if you want to read a book about that to begin that, in fact, I'll give you two books. The first one is called Influence, The Power of Persuasion by Robert Cialdini, okay? Famous Italian psychologist in this area of influence. In fact, so much so that Charlie Munger, after he read his book, he actually paid him to come and do some things, and he became like Charlie's number one psychologist in influence. That's how powerful this book is and this guy is. The second book is Chris Voss, the famous FBI negotiator. He wrote a book called Never Split the Difference, also a wonderful book for influence in that. So those two books, go there, you'll start to learn influence, particularly because in Robert's book, he talks about the 6 weapons of influence, and I did an episode on that on the podcast. So go back and check out the episode 6 weapons of influence. Bloody, very potent, very powerful, okay? So also known as persuasion. I think that's the number one soft skill to build wealth, because when you can persuade people and influence them, you can really get, you know, achieve more by doing less. And yeah, it's just, that's the skill, I think. So Dwance has come and give some advice here. So he says, focus on serving your clients over a quick sell. Sometimes it means losing a short deal, but it helps you exit the finite space and building a company beyond your current offer. Serving is the mindset blueprint for resilience. Yeah. So like, if you want to be successful, serve. The Go-Giver sells more. Even there is a great book. Oh yeah, someone else recommended the book. There's a great book called The Go-Giver. So that's where it's all about. Being influential and selling and being successful in that space is actually giving. So he's 100% correct, and that's a great book too. This one comes from Hayden from NZ. What are the best stocks to invest in for the long-term results? And I facetiously came here and wrote the ones that go up. I said, but in all seriousness, just stick with an index fund. Like most people, like you got to remember, there are people out there who are professional money managers and they spend 60 to 70 hours a week working very hard, quite intelligent, and 90% of them can't beat the market, meaning they can't beat a broad-based US NYSE index fund, okay, by one of the big companies like BlackRock or Vanguard. So if you want to beat 90% of the professionals, you just literally got to buy an index fund and sit on your ass, as Charlie Munger would say. So you don't need to, you know, pick stocks. You just invest in the market long term and over time. As long as the world does well and the economy does well, you do well, right? So that's how it works. Here we go. This one's from Ambassador. Only a couple more left, I think. How can I stop being scared of taking on bigger responsibilities that I might not be able to handle? Right? So this is the problem. People are running away from responsibility, but you've got to lean into responsibility. Okay? You got to lean into responsibility. So don't be fearful of it. Lean into it. If there's a chance for you to take on more responsibility, it means you're going to make more money. Okay? So with that, though, the reason why she's afraid, I'm sure, is because with it, it's like, well, I'm now in charge of people and I just don't know if I want to take that on board, right? Because I'm responsible for them. And that's a big responsibility, taking people's welfare and under your, you know, sort of guidance. But, you know, we're all adults too. And yeah, for sure, things can go wrong. But as long as you lead with good intention, as long as you've got a good heart and you're leading with good intention, you can't debate that. Like, you're going to make mistakes. So as long as you lead with good intentions. Anyway, I'm going to help you. And I say, this is my response to her in this, right? I said, would 85-year-old you regret not taking a shot at the title? So I'm looking at the opposite side of the problem. So I'm trying to flip it. So if you don't do it, would 85-year-old you regret not taking the shot at the title? And this is what I think to myself too. Like, if I've got these concerns and I don't know which way to go, I ask that question all the time. It's like the hospital bed analogy. And I talk about a little bit of this in my new book, Time Rich, where you move yourself forward to 85 and you're laying in your deathbed and you're like, will I lay in my deathbed and regret not doing this? And if the answer is yes, I'll regret it, then I do it, okay? Because life is short. You don't have any regrets. So she actually wrote this on the post. I said, would 85-year-old you regret not taking the shot? She said, yeah, I might regret it. I said, cool. I said, the pain of regret will be much worse than the pain of failure. When we fail, we learn and get better. But when we experience regret, we cannot turn back the clock and take the shot, okay? You can always get more money, but you can't get more time, okay? And I go on to say, as Wayne Gretzky famously says, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So if you've got this fear like, oh, what if I muck it up? Or what if I take on responsibility and I'm not as good as what I think? Well, guess what? If you don't say yes to it, you're 100% going to fail anyway because you missed the shot you didn't take. So, so go for it, right? Long-term mindset, I think we've gone back to the start. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, went back to the start accidentally. How to become a millionaire. All right. Here we go. This one's from Lexi. Only three more left, I think. What was the one thing you sacrificed that had the most significant impact on your wealth creation and money mindset? This one was easy, okay? This one word. You can even see it here on the post. That's what it wrote. Weekends. Okay, if I look back, I've sacrificed weekends. In fact, I would say I've worked every weekend this year of 2024 since January 1. I've worked every single weekend except one. So that's what I've sacrificed. Okay. Now I choose to do that. I don't have to, but I choose to because I'm on mission and I'm really excited about my mission and I love it. And I get a lot of like really deep work done on the weekends because no one messages me or call like businesses kind of, everyone's on holidays on the weekend. So I would think, and because we do lots of events, like we just did a kick-ass three-day event, our Mind and Money Accelerator intensive immersion weekend, we did that. And so there's certain weekends I'll do for events. In our network marketing business, I'll have weekends for events. And of course, if I'm currently writing a book, guys, like of course, like if I can get a chance to write a book and I take a weekend, it's perfect. So we're also doing that. So I would say weekends, okay? Now, if you can work on the weekends, okay, you don't have to do every one, but maybe every fourth one or every second one, whatever. Like, I think I look back at my dad's success and he worked every Saturday. And I think that is, like, if you think about it, if there's 7 days in a week, and I'm suggesting you work every weekend, okay? I don't want to burn you out, and that, you know, it's important to rest, and, you know, I believe in the Sabbath, and like, but if you think about it, if there's 7 days in a week, you rest on one, okay? So even God rested on the seventh day, right? So it's important. And then you work the extra. So you're basically, you're getting like an extra, what is it? You know, 18% roughly probably a week on top of everyone else. So you're compounding at 18% a week more. That's got to count for something over a period of 10 years, right? So of course that is going to propel you. So I think that's a big one to take on board, okay? It's not about like, what are your goals? I read this, I think Tim Ferriss talked about this. He said, it's not about what are you going to achieve? It's about what are you prepared to give up to achieve it? I think he calls it his fears list. It was a little bit different, but someone did say that, like, what are you willing to give up? Okay. All right. Awesome. So this one, there's three left, I think. Did I say the last time three left? Okay. What is the best way to track finances and manage money well? This is a real simple one. Do a monthly audit of your bank account, which means go onto your online banking, download your statement from the last month, put it onto an Excel spreadsheet, itemize the expenses, put the number at the bottom of what you spent money on, put the amount of income you made for the month at the top, see if you have a positive number. If you don't, you've got to cut your costs and increase your income. If you do, you've got the objective the next month is to beat that number, make sure it's higher. And once you've got a steadiness tool, you'll know how much you're saving every month and then invest that. Now, the only other way to amplify that, apart from cutting your costs, which you can only do at a certain point, is to learn how to make extra money, which is like start a side hustle, okay? All right, awesome. My buddy Shane, if you go to this post on my Instagram, you better read Shane's post. It's really good, but it's quite long, so I'm not going to read it here. But I said, great tip, Shane Seymour. He's got one of the most successful franchisor businesses in Australia. He's won tons of business awards. Go check it out. So I'm on that post on my Instagram. My Instagram is at Lloyd James Ross. Okay, awesome. All right. So this one's from Misty. There's two questions left. How do you market yourself for success financials when you're not in sales, right? So say you work in health profession or project management. How do you market yourself for sales? And I go on to say, look, this is to Misty. You start a side hustle, like a side business in the evenings and on weekends. Learn social media marketing, learn sales through doing it, you know, if that makes sense. And she said, sure. Just now I need an idea. Well, here's the thing. I actually asked her to send me a message because she can watch something to get started, because I personally, 10 years ago, I wanted to do this too. I was in property working 6 days a week making sales, but I was like, I've got more capacity. What else can I do? Because I was wanting to perfect some skills in that area and develop more income and amplify it. So I started, my wife and I started network marketing, and that's how we built a lot of skills we have today. So you can do that too, right? There's just, you don't need to invent the product. You can leverage someone else's. In fact, one of the webinars that I run called Shake Up Your Finances, one of the secrets in there is to actually ethically steal someone else's product. That's what you do. That's how my dad also became a multimillionaire in his 20s. He wasn't selling his own product. He was selling life insurance. He's someone else's. Okay. All right. Future millionaire. It might sound like a dumb question. No such thing as a dumb question. I'm the one that's never asked. Okay. What is the definition from Matty Bro? What is the definition of a millionaire? Having $1 million in assets, earning $1 million a year, having $1 million in the bank. And I wrote back, net assets of $1 million, meaning if you've got assets of, say, $2 million, you've got debt of $1 million, you take your assets minus your liabilities, it equals $1 million. If your assets minus your liabilities equals more than $1 million, then it means you're a millionaire by Wikipedia's standards, okay? So there you go. All right, awesome. Millionaire here, buy real estate, right? Trust. She says, buy real estate. Okay, final question, I promise. Future millionaire, when to take the leap of faith from stability and regular income, so as from a job, to 100% business owner from Data 3. I get this so much in my mentorship programs. Like my main mentorship program is my 5 Steps to Millions. I have a lot of students in there who come in to get mentored by me. And this has popped up a number of times over the last few years. And one particular one of my students, this was really bothering her. And I gave her this bit of advice and it completely shifted her, and she's now full-time business. But she didn't know either. And it's a very common question. So I was in this situation myself personally. And so I know I can answer this. And here's the answer. Ready? You leave your job when it costs you more money to stay. That's the answer. Okay. So if you're in your job and you got a business and you're like, oh, I don't know whether to go or not, my question is, are you losing money right now by staying in your job? Because I remember when I was in my job and I was like, it was starting to cost me money for me to stay there. I was like, this is literally costing. I was losing customers. I was losing clients. I was like, this is costing more to stay in this flipping job than what, you know, to stay here. So That was an instant. I was like, well, obviously I'm going to leave now. Okay, so that's the answer to that question. So I hope you've enjoyed that. That's all I have. This is a longer episode because there's tons, hopefully tons of value in there for you guys about what we call Ask a Millionaire. I've got some more of these coming up on my Instagram, but if you want to go check it out and read them, and if you want to leave a comment or a question on that post, go check it out. It's on my Instagram feed. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, like 12 down, 10 down. You'll see it, right? So go check it out. Leave me a question, and I look forward to talking with you on the next episode of Money Grows on Trees podcast.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Money Grows on Trees podcast. If you like the show, you might want to check out our book, Money Grows on Trees, which you can find at LloydJRoss.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a review, and feel free to reach out to Lloyd on Instagram at LloydJamesRoss.